Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Aleph. We're learning today Lili Nishmas. I got some additional names from last week for Alex Frolinger, Yaakov Ben Mendel Gershon. We're also learning Lili Nishmas, Morris Wallenstein, Moshe Ben Uriah Shraga. And the art site today is Michael Grossinger, Elimelech Ben Kessel Yehuda, and also Nelly Markowitz, Necha Bas Eliezer. All the Nishams you learn for Shavan Aliyah. We remind ourselves that we had yesterday the new Mishnah. We began the second parak, where we had a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham's opinion was that an ohel, whether it was made by an Adam or whether it was made naturally by Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that is an ohel. If it has a space of a tefach, so then it halachically is an ohel. And the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was no. Kol ohel she'eno also be de Adam eino ohel. He says only an ohel that was made by a human being is considered an ohel, but an ohel that was made by Kodesh Baruch Hu, a natural occurring crevice in a rock, for example. So he said that is not considered an ohel according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara explained yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda had learned this out through Gzeirah Shavah from ohel ohel. Just like in the case of the Mishkan that was set up in Moshe Rabbeinu by Yefroses Ohel al Mishkan, so it had to be Lahalon Bidei Adam. Over there it was done by a person, by a human being, by Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, when it says Zos Taras Adam Kiyomos Be'ohel, it's also referring to a situation where the Ohel was made by men and not made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's just a quick review of what we learned in yesterday's shir. And now we start off with the words, the Sovar Rebbe Yehuda, which can be found 5 lines from the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So Gemara says, really, the Sovar of Yehuda Kolol Sheino also be the Adam Eino Ohel? So is it really true that Yehuda holds that an Ohel that was not made by a person is not considered an Ohel? So for example, we said the crevices in a rock or a river or salt that had eaten out some area and now there was a space in a naturally occurring phenomenon that is not considered an Ohel. But I'll show you that that's not true. Or Minu. One of the very famous Mishnah in Parah. Masechta Parah deals with all of the stringencies that we make for the preparations of the Parah Aduma because of one leniency that we took. Rashi over there tells us that in regards to Parah Aduma, Mishum demetamim esakoin hasoriv esaparib bnei tzedukim. The tzedukim held that the Parah Aduma had to be done by a non-tful yom. The Kohen Gadol usually was the one that did the Parah Aduma, but Lav Dafka, it had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Whichever Kohen was going to make the Parah Aduma, so according to the Tzedukim, who incorrectly read the words literally in the Pasuk, it said he had to be tar, so they held that a Tful Yom could not do that Avoda. But the Chazal, they said that in fact a Tful Yom could do the Avoda, and therefore, in order to lahotzi miliban shel Tzedukim, so they, the Dafka, were metame the Kohen Gadol, who was sorry for Sapara, they would either have him touch a sheretz, that's one opinion, and then they immersed him in the mikveh, and then he was what's called the Tful Yom, or that they did something similar to that. They didn't actually metame him, but they made it like he was tame as a Tful Yom, and therefore he went to the mikveh, and he was now a Tful Yom. Now, in that situation, Chazal paskin that it's perfectly acceptable for him to do the Parah Aduma, but according to the Tzedukim, was not. So since this was a leniency that the rabbis had in regards to the Parah Aduma, so Rashi tells us over there in Parah, Asu ba shar malos harbe. They made many, many additional stringencies in regards to the Parah Aduma. She'ein echav ha-kohanim nogimgo kol shivas yom mefri shasso. So they separated him for 7 days, like we have with the Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol separated for 7 days, so too they separated the Kohen Asoris Parah for 7 days prior to his bringing the Parah Aduma. And they did this in order to give an additional stringency here that even his fellow Kohanim shouldn't touch him. Maybe one of them was Tomei and they touched him, and therefore they did all of these additional stringencies, including the ones that we're now to say right now, that they had a very phenomenal thing, that they had these children that they made sure that they were never tummy. They took children under the age of 9. They took them from birth up until the age of 9, so they didn't have any tumor that could come out of their bodies, and they kept them in a way that they would not become tummy. So if they had to make a Parah Aduma, they would be able to go get the water without the water possibly coming into contact with Tumas HaTahom. And that's the whole reason we're bringing in this discussion right now, because Tumas HaTahom is going to be a natural occurring ohel in the ground that would block the Tumas HaTahom from going up. If you have Tuma without an ohel, the Tuma is Bokas Va'ole. It goes right up through anything and will continue going up, and we've been Tame anybody standing above it. But if there was an ohel, remember we had early in the Masechta, if there was one tefach space of an ohel, so then the Tuma doesn't go Bokas, it doesn't go through the roof, but it will spread out underneath that roof. So here, we'll see that even Rabbi Yehuda, this will be the question of Yehuda. You're telling us that in Ohel, Sheina Osub, Yad Aldim, Eina Ohel. So here we'll see that this is not made by a human being, and yet it has the capacity to be an Ohel. That is what we're going to have a long discussion on now, how Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself. So let's again start. The Savar Rabbi Yehuda, Kolol, Sheino also Bidei Adam, Eino Ohel. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda really holds that if it's an Ohel that was made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, was made through nature, that's not considered an Ohel. But the Mishnah and Parah tells us, Ruminu, Chatzeros, Hayibinu, Yerushalayim. They used to go and build these courtyards in Yerushalayim, Al Gabi Hasela. They did it on top of bedrock. In other words, there was no way, if you dug down here, there was no way that there was any Rahman al-Islam Tumas Mace there, because they hit down the virgin ground, the virgin rock, and that there was no possibility of there being anybody buried over there. V'sachteyem cholo. Now, Rashi tells us that whenever we use this lush of kever at the home, it means this potential suffix whether there is a body buried over there in the depths, she'ino gali, that's not revealed to us, and that's what we call over here this suffix tumah of kever had to home, so therefore they would raise up above this bedrock, above the sela, they would go and build this tachteim cholo. They would have a area that they had a space between the bedrock and the chotzer that they built up, mibnei kever had to home, because in case there was tumah still underneath there, you would have an ohel here. So again, it's very unlikely that there was anybody buried over there, but just in case there was an unknown buried body underneath there, so they built it up a tefach, so we'd at least have an ohel from the bedrock up until this courtyard, and then they built the houses in this courtyard upon this platform. That is called over here the sachteyem chol. Underneath this platform, they had a space of at least a tefach. Now, this was because of Bibnei Keratom, the concern that maybe there was a body buried over there. Or maybe in Noshinu Boros, the older Shom, now they would bring pregnant women and they would give birth in this courtyard here and have the children not leave this courtyard. And they would raise the children there. If there was a need to make a paraduma, these children would absolutely be guaranteed that they never come into contact with Tumas Meis and not even Tumah of Kevra Hatahom. And if they did, Tosus points out, come into contact with their mother, who might have been an Ida, so that's not a concern for us. And or we do as much as we can to prevent any possible type of a concern of Tumah, but what you can't prevent, you can't prevent. And they would take these children up until the age of 9, because if it was a boy, at the age of 9, there was a potential they would have a Zera discharge and become Tumah because of that. In any event, they would raise these children over here on this area of bedrock with kever at the home not being highly likely. Or maybe in Shvarb, now they had to go and get water for the paraduma. They needed to mix it with the ashes of the paraduma, so they needed water that wasn't going to become tamei. So they needed to have these children who weren't tamei go and get this water. Or maybe in Shvarb, so they would bring these oxen and the algabeian delosos. They would place these doors flat on the back of the oxen. Normally the door is vertical. Here they would put it horizontal. And the tinokos, yoshin al-gabem, and these children would sit on top of these flat doors, the horizontal doors that were on top of the backs of these oxen. And this way, the children would be protected because there would be at least a space of a tefach underneath these doors to the ground. And the children, if there was any tumah of tahom, that would hit the bottom of this door, and it would spread out over the door, but not go through the door to the children above it. And this way, the children were protected from any tumas meis that they would be traversing over in going to get the water from the shiloach, the mei shiloach, for the addition to the ashes of the paraduma to make the mei chatas. So therefore, on the backs of these oxen, there were these doors, the tinokos yoshin al gabeim, with the children sitting on top of them, and they would carry in their hands a kosos shel even bidam. They would take with them stone utensils. By definition, stone is not makabel tumah, so these utensils couldn't become tumei, and they would reach the shiloach, the higiu l'shiloach, the place where they would go fill up the water, and yardu l'soch hamayim umilum. So they then entered into the water and filled up these clay avanim, these stoneware, with water. Now, Rashi points out that this goes according to the shita that you had to fill it up by hand. You couldn't lower a rope down into it. Tosus points out that there were other shitas that say you could. And there was one shita that said that they just put the stoneware on the horns of the oxen, and when the oxen went down to drink, it also immersed the water in the cup, and then they would just take the filled up cup from the horns of the ox. In any event, this sheet to here says that they had to have the children go and fill it up. And new, if they're now going in the water, maybe there's a body buried deep underneath the water and it's going to go and be metami them. What could you do? Tosfos points out, in Yefshir, Yefshir, you do everything that you can, and they protected the children from becoming tummy as best as they could, but here they had to go into the water. So if there was Tumasa Tahom there, so there would be Tumasa Tahom. What could you do? Now, in this situation, the children went in, Yardu L'sol Chamayim Yiblum, they went into the water and filled up these stoneware utensils with the water from the Shiloach, and they went back on top of the oxen, Ba'olu V'yoshu Lahem, on top of the doors, on top of the oxen. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, he said, no, they didn't go down into the water, but they would lower these stoneware cups into the water with a rope. They would lower it and fill up the water, and then they would go and pull it back up afterwards, and this is how they got the water. Now, why didn't they go into the water? They came right to home. Rabbi Yossi says, even here, we have to be concerned about came right to home. He held that it was acceptable to go and not fill up the container directly with your hand. You could do it via the rope, and therefore that's what he said you should do. Furthermore, Vitanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now here's where we're going to have our question. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo hayud mevi'in delosos. They wouldn't go and bring doors, put the door horizontal on the top of the back of the oxen, El Shvam. They would just have the children sit on the top of the oxen. Now, here's where we finally get to the stira in Rabbi Yehuda, or seeming stira in Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah again, Rabbi Yehuda had said that Kol Oel Sheino also be the Adam Eino Ohel. But over here, Vahar Shvarim, the Oel Sheino also be the Adam. Who? Man didn't make the oxen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So the oxen, if they're going to function over here as an Ohel, but it's not made by a man. Ktani, and yet, the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hayo Mevi'in Delosos Hel Shvarim. They did not take the man made Ohel, the door, but instead they used the oxen type of an ohel. Now the oxen always bidei shamayim, and therefore we have a stira. Over here in Parah, Rabbi Yehuda seems to allow an ohel that was not made bidei adam. The oxen are not made bidei adam, and yet the Mishnah all those that said the Rabbi Yehuda holds that it must be bidei adam and not bidei shamayim, that contradicts this. So we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says not a stira, it's not a problem. He also Rabbi Dimi came from Rabbi Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Elazar. He said the name Rabbi Elazar, Moda Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is moda that if you have kimlo egrof, if you have a space that is more than a tefach, so then it's kimlo egrof. As Rashi points out, we're not talking about a normal person's egrof, his fist, but we're talking here about a very large fist. Zehu egrofo shel ben avotiach. His fist, this person, this huge person, this Ben Avotiach, so his fist was as big as most people's head. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says that it's man-made, is only the time it's an all, but not if it's made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's only Hecha De'ena Osu Bidei Adam B'Tefach. The only time it's not considered an all if it was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bidei Shamayim, and not by an Adam, is only if it's exactly a Tefach. Then it doesn't count as an all. But if it's greater than a Tefach, if it's Kemelo Egrov of this Ben Avotiach, so it's the size of a head, several Tvachim, so then it is considered an Oel, even though it wasn't made Bidei Adam. And that's how we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda in Parah says that you don't want to use the animal, it's not made Bidei Adam, so how come it's good? Because it was greater than a Tefach. And when our Gemara says that you weren't able to use it, it's because you're dealing over here with a Tefach. And a Tefach has to be Bidei Adam and not Bidei Shamayim. Now, the Ritva asks a very good question over here. The Ritva says, but Rabbi Yehuda didn't learn it out on his own. He learned it out from Gzeir Shav of OLO. We started off today's shiur. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we said that Rabbi Yehuda has a Gzeir Shava, OLOL. So if it's a Gzeir Shava, how do you distinguish between a Tefach or more than a Tefach? The Gzeir Shava doesn't seem to make any distinction. The Gzeir Shava teaches us just like the Mishkan was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, the Ohel, in order to prevent the Tumah from going through it, has to be a space of a Tefach made by a person and not Bidei Shamayim. So the Ritva says, no, we actually learn it out from a Metzora, and the Gzeir Shava only comes to tell us the size, that it's a Melo Egrov and not a Tefach. But the actual Din is learned out from Metzora and not through the Gzeir Shava. In any event, this reconciles the two seemingly contradictory opinions of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, I'll show you that this isn't just some stam answer, but this is actually a brisa. Tanya Namihochi, the brisa says exactly this answer. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda agrees. When you have shakifin are these big rocks that are lifted off the ground. Ubinikike hasloim, or if you have cracks in these rocks, so you have a space that's more than a tefach, but this is done. Bidei shamayim, it's okay as an ohel, because if it's more than a tefach, it is considered that even bidei shamayim, it is considered an ohel. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, Mare deles, the yesh bo kamay grofin, but we said over here that Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow you to use the deles. He said you should use the shor, you should use the shvarim. But if you have a deles, it's several egrofin above the ground. So how come it's no good? Uktani, that the Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ho yemivin the losu sil shvarim. He seemed to indicate that the deles is no good. Now if the deles is melo egrof, or actually much more than a melo egrof, so then why isn't it a good ohel? So that's the question that we now ask on Rabbi Yehuda. So we give two tirutz. The first one's from Abaye. Amar Abaye, lo hutzuchu lohavid losos. No, what Rabbi Yehuda said was, you don't have to bother bringing the losos, because, in fact, the shor itself can be the blockage from the tumas at the home. The shor is a big animal, and it has a space inside of it, of a tefach, inside its hollowed organs, and therefore, this space will prevent the tumah that is underneath the shor, the tumas tahom, from going up through the shor and being matami, the children on top of the shor. So when Yehuda says that you don't have to go and bring the delosos, but you could use the shvarim, when he said lo hayu mevin, it means you don't have to go and bring the delosos. You were able to use the shvarim, but if you want to bring the delosos, it's perfectly fine. He wasn't saying that the delosos are no good. That's Abaye's teretz. Rava gives a slightly different teretz. Rava, Mar lo yemivin delosos kolikar. He says, no, there was no reason to go and bring delosos. You shouldn't bring delosos, but you should rely upon the shor. Why shouldn't you bring delosos? Because shebevnesha daito sholtino kagasolav. It's a very steady type of a position when you have this horizontal big door on the back of the ox, and the child's going to feel very, very comfortable that he's not going to fall off. And if he's not going to fall off, shema yotzi rosho o echad meyivara v'yitame. Since he's not scared, he's not holding on for dear life in the middle of this horizontal door, what he's going to do is go to the edge of the door and look over, and boom, he's going to be mile over to Masat Tahom. So therefore, that's why Rabbi explains that Rabbi Yehuda said that you don't go and bring a door, because the child's going to be too comfortable on the door, as opposed to on the somewhat uneven back of the ox that's constantly moving about, so the kid's going to hold on for dear life and not stick his head over on the side of the shore. So therefore, the reason why Rava says is Shema Yotzi Rosho Oecha Meivara V'yitame Mitumas B'kevra Tahom, and we turn to Chafala from Midbeis, but it's not that the door would itself be a problem. Okay. Where it says Tani Kavosi the Rava, we have a brisa in support of Rava. What is that brisa? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, our Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Yivin Losos Kolikar, that you didn't have to go bring the doors at all. We don't go and bring the doors. Because if you bring the doors, it would technically be good, but the child's going to be so comfortable in the doors, he's going to stick his head over the side. And Rechman Olusan, Shemayosi Rosho, Echon Meivarov, V'yitam Mebekev Ratahom. Oh, so the Brisa says exactly like Rava. Ella, what do you do? According to Rabbi Yehuda, El Mevin Shvarim HaMitzrim, you take these big Egyptian oxen, these Shvarim HaMitzrim, Shekrei Sosein Rechobos, have very, very big, wide stomachs. Vatinokos Yoshvin Al Gabeim, the children sit on top of these big oxen, and therefore there is no concern that they'll stick their heads over the side because the oxen are moving about and the kid's a little bit scared. And therefore, the kid is protected fully with the backs of the oxen. And he then takes the Kosu Shalevim Bidein, takes these stoneware cups in their hand to go fill up from the Shiloach. Higilu Shiloach, Yardu Milom. According to this opinion, again, you can't worry about Tumas Tahom in the river, because if it's there, it's there. You got to get the kid to draw up the water directly. You can't do it through the mechanism we said previously, which was to lower it by a rope. This opinion of this Tana says that the child has to go actually into the water. Therefore, Yardu Umilum, the child goes into the water, fills up the cups, these stoneware cups, and then goes back up on top of the ox. And in this way, you do everything possible to minimize any chance that this child or the water could become tame. Because, again, we specifically allowed a tfu yom, so therefore we have all these chumros, all these malos that we do in regards to parah versus other scenarios. Now the Gemara says, "Vahare mita." Wait a second. According to Rabbi Yehuda, so the mita was made by an adam. So harimita, the yesh bo kama egrofim. So the mita is also several fists off the ground. So clear should be a perfectly valid ohel. So how can we learn? Lutanan, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chof yesterday's shir, we learned Rabbi Yehuda Omer Noagin Oyinu Shayinu Yishenim Tachas Amita Bivnei HaZakenim. When we opened up this perek, we learned this Mishnah yesterday, and we said that the Zakenim allowed us, when we were learning there, to go and sleep underneath the beds. That's what Rabbi Yehuda wanted to point out, that the Tanakam is wrong, that the Zakenim allowed us to go and sleep underneath the beds. Now, they didn't say boo to us. Obviously, we all had the obligation to sleep in the sukkah, so we slept underneath the beds. We allowed the Zakenim to sleep on top of the beds, and everybody was Yotzei. Now, according to this, the bed is not a problem. It doesn't prevent you from being Yotzei in the sukkah, but according to what we just learned from Rabbi Yehuda, we said that if it's below Egrof, if it's a specific enough space of at least an Egrof underneath the bed, then it does ruin it. So again, we seem to have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda. Someone says, no, shiny mita, there's a difference between a mita. Ho'ul ulagabo asuya. The mita is made to be sitting on the top of the mita and not to use it as a protection for anything under it. And therefore, anything under it is not considered as if you're underneath an ohel. Where it says, wait a second, shvaru nami legaben asuyim. So oxen also, they're made to have somebody sit on top of them, not underneath them. Where it says, no, underneath them is also a benefit with the oxen. If you also Robin, when Robin came married, so I'm Rabbi Elazar, same name, Rabbi Elazar, shiny shvarim. Shvarim are different. Why is that? Whole meginim al haroim, since they're protecting the roim, b'chamu b'necham b'ksham b'necham, during the summer, hot months, the shepherds will go and hide underneath the oxen to protect themselves from the sun. And in the winter, they'll protect themselves from the rain by going underneath the oxen. And in this way, the oxen are serving as an ohel. And that's why the oxen can themselves be, since the halal tefach, they have a space inside their hollow organs, their insides is at least the space of a tefach. So therefore, it can be chotzeis, it can prevent any tumas atahom from going through them and being metame, the children sitting on top of them. But with the bed isn't supposed to be serving to protect anything underneath it. The bed is serving to allow people to sit on top of it and sleep on top of it. And therefore, there's a difference between the bed and between the oxen. Or says, wait a second, if that's your rationale, that the oxen are protecting the shepherds, the hachi, so the mitanami, the beds also are serving as a protection. For what? Hol magina al haminolim, the sandolim shetachtel. The bed protects the shoes and sandals that a person puts underneath them when he goes to sleep. So therefore, the mita is also protecting, just like the oxen are protecting, or serving to help the shepherds underneath them, so too, the bed is serving to help the shoes underneath it. So it says, Taki, you're right. El Omar Rabbah, this is the real reason. Why are oxen different? Shiny shvarim. Why are oxen different than the bed? Shiny shvarim. Ho vasui lohagen al bnei me'ayim shalhem. The ox itself is protecting its internal organs with its body. Shenemar, as we bring down a puzzle from Eov, or ubasor tabisheni uvatzomos v'gidim tesochecheni. So it says that you'll, so to say, make you wear the hide and the muscle, and the atzamos and the gidim will be like a shelter. And therefore, you see from this pasuk that we refer to the ox as an ohel. Tosus points out, this is really actually talking about an eov, about a human being. But Tosus says it's a kavachomer, that if a human being was standing vertical, it serves as an ohel. So certainly the ox, which is more horizontal in its body parts, so therefore if the human being vertical is considered an ohel, so certainly the ox is considered an ohel as well. That's teretz number one. Now we give an additional teretz. We can argue that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the person who is underneath the bed is yotzei the mitzvah sukkah based upon the following. The Omer sukkah diras keba boinam, because Yehuda, we learned earlier in the Masechta, on the very first page, that he holds that it has to be a diras keba. That's why he allows it to be more than 20 amah tall. The schach can be raised above 20 amah because it has to be a diras keba. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it must be a diras keba. The Havale Mito Diras Arayit. Now the Mito, even though it may be an Ohel, but it's certainly only a Mita that is a Diras Arayit. It's only a temporary dwelling. The Sukkah Ohel Keba. And the Sukkah itself is an Ohel Keba. And Rabbi Yehuda Sheet is Lo'osi Ohel Arayit, that this temporary partial Ohel Umavatel cannot come and be Mavatel Ohel Keba. Lo'osi Ohel Arayit Umavatel Ohel Keba. So therefore the bed, which is an Ohel Arayit, can't go and ruin it for somebody sleeping underneath this bed, ruin that person from being considered to be in the sukkah. Where says, really, wait a second. But Rabbi Shimon, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Nami Sukkah's Diras Kevabino, because Rabbi Shimon holds that you need to have four walls of the Sukkah. So we had brought that early in the Masechta, that is of the opinion that it's also one of the six or seven Tanoic opinions that we brought down that hold that it has to be Keva. So Rabbi Shimon says by having four walls, it has to be Keva, three walls and something, so it has to be Keva. And therefore, he says that you need a Koveya, a Keva Sukkah. So how come the Mita, which is an Ohel Aroi, roots it according to Rabbi Shimon? So how come over here, for Osi Ohel Aroi, Mavatel Ohel Keva? So over here we have this Ohel Aroi. The Mesoros HaShas brings down the Marshal that says you delete the word Vaha, but in any event, this opinion, according to Rabbi Shimon, so he should say that the Ohel Aroi should also not be able to be Mevatel, the Ohel Keva, and he should say that it's good. But how come Rabbi Shimon says that it's no good? Now, how do we know that? Because Rabbi Shimon said that Tevi, the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel, slept under the bed in the Sukkah because the Sukkah had limited space, and therefore he slept in a place that you couldn't be Yotze, so nobody else would be sleeping there. He wanted to hear the words of the Chachamim, as we pointed out, so therefore he slept there. But that was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that the bed, in fact, ruined it. But here we just said that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you need a Diras Keva, and the bed would be a Diras Aroi, and Aroi shouldn't ruin the din of the Sukkah being Keva. Just like Rabbi Yehuda didn't ruin it for him, so too, it shouldn't ruin it for Rabbi Shimon. So that's a Kasha. Gemara says, and Bahopli, yeah, that's exactly what they're arguing about. Again, the Marshal deletes the word in, but same, I'm not sure why, but it's the same reading in either event. This is exactly it. Baha Pligi. This is where Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree. They both say that you have to have an all keva. And where do they argue, however, is on this fact. Baha Pligi. Mar Sovar. In fact, the Rabbi Shimon holds also Yoel Aroi Mavatal all keva, that the oil Aroi of the bed can be Mavatal all keva. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda himself, Rabbi Amar Sovel Oasi Ol Arai Mavatel Ol Keva. He says, no, the Ol Arai of the bed can't be Mavatel the Ol Keva. That's what they're arguing about. Finally, we learned in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, we just said it now, and we learned it in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, Maisa v'tevi Abdul Sharab Gamliel, that the once was a Maisa with Tevi, who was the famous servant of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel said, look how smart my Tevi is. He says, such a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't want to go and take up space in the sukkah that could be used by somebody else, so he sleeps under the bed where a yid can't sleep. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a bright, so Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Misichosel Sherabim Gamliel, from the simple conversation that Rabbi Gamliel had with his colleagues, they weren't talking halacha, he was just saying, by the way, in the Mishnah we use the Lashon, Ulafi Darkeinu Lamadu, based upon this conversation, so we can learn out the following. So from the Lashon, the Sichas Chulin of Rabbi Gamliel, so we can see what the halacha is. So Lamadu Shnei Dvarim. Number one, Lamadnu Shavodim Peturim and Asukah. We see over here that Tevi, who was an Eved Kenani, is only Mechuyav Mitzvos like a woman, and therefore both of them are Peturim from Sukkah. And number two, Lamadnu Shayoshin Tachas Zamita, if somebody's sleeping underneath the bed in the Sukkah, Lo Yotzi Dechavosu. This person is not fulfilling his obligation to sit in the Sukkah if he's sleeping underneath the bed. So Gemara says, why don't we just say, Belema Mitvaru Shavodim Gamliel? Why don't you just say it out instead of saying, Misichosu Shavodim Gamliel? So Gemara says, Milsa agav urche kamashvoy. He's teaching us an additional din through this incidental description over here. And where do we see this? Kihod Amar Ravacha Bar Ada, just like Ravacha Bar Ada said, or Amrile, others say it wasn't Ravacha Bar Ada, it was Amar Ravacha Bar Ada, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav, whoever it was that said this. Minayin Shafilu Sichas Tamidei Chachomim Tzricho Limud, that even the simple, what seems to be on the surface, secular conversations or non-halachic conversations of Talmidei Chacham, you have to listen to them very carefully and pay attention to everything that they say. Minayin Shapilu Sichas Talmidei Chacham, even the slight conversations that they're having, non-halachic, deep conversations, but this is the normal, typical conversations that Talmidei Chacham are having. You have to listen to them carefully and learn out things from them. That's based upon Shenemar, V'olehu Lo Yibol, that the leaves of the tree don't go and get ruined. So Rashi understands this as follows. Rashi says, this is Dovar Kal Shebo, the leaves are the lightest thing of the tree. And even for the lightest thing of the tree, you have to be careful. They won't get ruined. So too, even the Sichas Tamidei Chachamim, the lightest thing that they're doing, they're not talking a pilpul, they're not talking a shir, they're just talking. So even from the way that they talk, you can learn out many things. Rebbeinu Chananel says that the leaves over here, the Ali Halilan, Nikro Sichim, they're known as Sichim, and that comes from the Lashon of Sichas Talmidei Chacham, the conversations, so the leaves are also known as conversations, as these Sichim. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, if a person goes and puts the schach of his sukkah up on top of the legs of the bed that he's sleeping on in the sukkah, so you can see diagrams of this in the Illustrated Gemara, very clearly on page 44, in diagram number 132, and the next diagram will be on page 45, diagram number 133. Now, what we're dealing over here is that you have a bed which has three walls to it, basically, that are raised above the flat part of the bed that you're sleeping on, and then you put schach over those three walls. Again, a sukkah only requires three walls, and therefore, this is a perfectly kosher sukkah. Now, the question is, Tanakhama holds that if you somech the schach on top of these kari amita, it's perfectly good, kshera. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. If the schach can't stand up on its own, in other words, if it's totally supported by the bed, so then, psula, it is not going to be kosher. What exactly is this machlokas? The Gemara now tell us. Gemara starts off and says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What is the rationale behind Rabbi Yehuda's saying that if the schach is resting directly on the bed, it is no good? So, pligi bo Rabbi Zeira for Rabbi Abba Ramamu. We have two possible explanations for this machlokas between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba Ramamu. One of them says, chad omar, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the sukkah is no good because the schach is on the bed, because this bed doesn't have a kviyas to it, it's not a keva, and we just learned that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the sukkah must be a sukkas or diras keva. And the other one, v'chadamar, because this schach is on these walls of the bed, the legs of the bed, which are makabel tuma, and therefore schach can't be mamid on something that is makabel tuma. So we have these two reasons. What's the practical difference between the two of them? The nafkamina is my benayu. What's the nafkamina? Kigon shenoatz shpudin shel barzel v'sichichalem. It's as if you put down four posts. Again, this you can see in the diagram that I just mentioned in the Illustrated Gemara, page 45, diagram number 133, that you have these four posts that are made out of metal, and you put the schach over them. So the schach is hanging up over them on those four posts, but it's also overhanging the bed. Now, according to the opinion that said, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not good in this situation because it doesn't have keva to the bed. So here it does have keva because you have the four posts that are holding it in very firmly, the schach. According to the other opinion, it was because you're not allowed to have the schach on something that's makabel tumah. So then you attack it right. These posts, and it would still be no good. However, Omar Abaye says, no, that's only true, lo shanu elo somach, that's only true if the schach was directly on the bedpost. Avo sichich al gav hamita, but if you put the schach over the bed itself, in other words, the schach is not resting directly on the bed, the schach is resting on top of the sukkah, so then it's ksheira. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's good in that situation. Why? My taima. So this is true, even according to Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Abba Ramamu's reason. We don't know again which one was which. The one who said Mishum She'ein Lo Keva or Mishum She'ein Mamidim B'Davar Makabel Tuma. So either one of those reasons would now no longer apply. So that's what the Gemara says. My Taima. Ramam Di Amar Lefi She'ein Lo Keva. According to the opinion that Rabbi Yehuda invalidated the bed, put the schach on top of it because it's not a kavua situation. So in this situation, it is kavua. You have the walls of the bed that you are holding the schach onto, hare yesh lo keva. So you do have the kviyas to it, and therefore the fact that the schach is on top of it is not a problem because it has the status of being kavua. So therefore it's not a problem. According to the Mandi Yomar, it says lefish lo keva, it is keva, hare yesh lo keva. And according to the other opinion, Mandi Yomar, neshim amida, bedavim makabel tumo. And according to the problem that you're not allowed to put the schach on top of something that's makabel tumo, so why isn't that a problem over here? Is a problem. Why is this here not a problem? Because harei mamida b'davar mekabel tumah. Because he's not really putting it on something that's mekabel tumah. Because the walls of the bed are not a material that is mekabel tumah. And therefore, mimanushach, whether it's because you need to have keva or whether because it can't be something that's resting on a davar mekabel tumah, neither of those two applies. It is a davar keva and it is not on something, it's a makabel tumah. So therefore, Abaye had qualified and said, if you were actually masachik agav hamita, if you put it directly on the bed, then it would be acceptable. It would be kishera. I hope this was clear. It was a little bit of a tough shir, but Baruch Hashem, with this we conclude today's shir.